session number 22081, Reel 8.
Mr. Gray, Reel 8. Now, during this phase, there was the so-called mutiny of DLI and men from other regiments from Africa who had been sent to Salerno. Do you remember anything about that at the time?
No.
You know, men that resented, you know, thought they should have gone back to England. And apparently
they
were on the beach.
Everybody thought they should have went back to England, you know. And there was quite a lot of people getting nervous troubles, you know, really. Because, you know, you was always hearing rumours about somebody putting a bullet through their foot and all this sort of thing, you know. You know, it got a lot of people down, really. You know.
How did you cope with that, you know, under the constant shell fire? Was there a...
Well, I seem to be pretty fortunate, but, I mean, at the latter end, it was getting on your nerves a bit because you thought, well, all these people had disappeared and you must be the next one sort of thing, you know. That was used to prey on your nerves a bit, like.
Yeah. Now, so you entered Naples. Any other memories of that?
No, we went more or less straight through because there's a tank stand up there and there was a lot of snipers and odd shelling there, you know, really. But we got through Naples pretty well, if I can remember rightly. We was always up the side of the road sort of thing, you know, on the hillside. Durham was always on the hills. Kept looking down at this road, you know, of course the tanks were getting stuck and all this business, you know. Used to swear about them.
What do you think about, you know, the support of the tanks? I mean, other veterans have talked about that the tanks would bring trouble with them. You know, they bring the dust and the smoke and they bring...
Well, the infantry was always swearing about the tanks, yeah, but, see, the Durhams were always on the mountains. And you can look down, it was the six, the road up the coast, and it flat as a hat, you know. But the Jerry was on the hills looking down at them all the time, and our job was to more or less clear them off the mountains so the tanks now can get up, like, you know. But as soon as the tanks seemed to come off the road, they used to lose their tracks and all sorts of things, you know. Mind you, God, that's what we can do with them. But, like, we asked to be in the infantry, we got the wrong attitude towards the tanks, really, you know. We was expecting them to do miracles, which they couldn't, obviously, you know. And we was always up the mountains.
How did you get on with the Italian civilians?
The Italian civilian? Well, not too bad. Not too bad, really, because there was a lot of them pleased to see us. There were, really. I don't know. But we didn't have a lot dealing with them, really, actually, but... When we come back for a bit of a break, you know, obviously we used to go and get some gallon of vino off them or something, you know, or a bit of rough bread or something, and we didn't give them a tin of bully or something for it, you know, that was how we went on. Because, you know, like, my own answer was getting a packet of fags, you know, I always smoked the head off, like, you know. But there was something about a fag, because if you was in any trouble, you had a fag on, it seemed to soothe, you know, really. I think that's one of the reasons why they give us fags.
So, were there any men that didn't smoke? I suppose there'd be.
Oh yeah, there's quite a few who didn't smoke. When they used to, like, in the compo and box, like, there was always goodie bars of chocolate. Not the chocolate we get today, but like cocoa chocolate. You know, there's always a bar of that for each person. And anybody didn't smoke used to swap the fags for the chocolate sort of thing. We managed pretty well.
Now, as you moved up, what's the next incident that, frontline incident that...
We started going over the rivers. We had rivers all the way up Italy, really, you know. Some of the infantry lads had more trouble than we did, really, because by the time they'd got across, the old sappers had put a bit of a bridge across for us, like, you know.
Now, apparently, the Volturno was...
What
do you remember about the crossing of the Volturno?
That was up in Germano, that way, wasn't it, sort of thing? We had a rough passage up here. all of them, that was a boat turner where Captain Harris was in the boat, because the lads had never had any practice with these boats, you know. Never, some of them never been in a boat before, but they got across the river. And I think there was somebody panicked in the boat Captain Harris was on, because they tipped themselves out, like, and they had to swim the best of the way. But, you know, I suppose on about 6 or 7 foot deep, I suppose, I don't know, but, you know, once you got wet, you was wet for days, really, you know, soaked through, like, you know, there's no dry clothes in there.
Did you take the bike across?
Yeah, but the sappers had put a bridge, you know, they used to make a way across for you before they put the big bridges up for the heavy stuff, you know.
So there'd be like a...
They were sometimes there as quick as the 1st Infantry, you know, some of these sappers. Oh, yeah.
So you crossed the Volturno. What happened?
Yeah, we got on one side, I think that was the Volturno, and our lads got over too quick. And we got some air support, and this was the Yanks, and instead of doing the enemy soy, and you know, by the time they'd done it, our lads were across, and a lot of our chaps got wounded and what have you there. And that was with the Yanks, that was them lightning planes. That was communication again, see. They'd been told to bomb that side so we can get across, but our lads were already across there, you know. Yeah.
And you could see this happening?
Oh, you see the planes coming, but, you know.
So was anybody able to call off these aircraft, or did you just...
Oh, yeah, but they were called off, but they'd done it once, so they'd come up the side of the river, you know, and our lads, you know, were over there, and they were over there quicker than they should have been, put it that way. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that was a Volturno. Rocco Martino, something like that. No, Volturno, I think it was. We had quite a rough passage up there, all the way up to near enough to Cassino. That was, that's when I come, we just come back from that, we're not more, but when I'm, you know, we're all tired early.
And that's one of the photographs.
Yeah, we've been kicking around here for, you know, for quite a number of weeks and months or something like that.
Now, just a general point about your experiences in Italy. You talked about Salerno and the, you know, the back and forth routine with the motorbike. How were you affected by fatigue? Because obviously you're under shell fire. How much
you got that tired? You slept, and you know, I slept with my feet in the handlebars and my head on the side of the bike with one side on the frame. But we got in the sleep tanks, we used to get the old ghastly over top of us.
But did fatigue, did you ever feel as you were riding this thing that
fatigue was... Oh no, I was wide awake when I was on the bike, yeah. And,
what was morale like during this stage of the Italian campaign?
Pretty good, I know a lot, you know, it was all morning, of course you're always morning about the weather, because we got stuck in the water and mud, for, you know, sometimes them slip tends to be full of water, you know. We had it pretty rough there. I remember up at the, I think that was around Germano, and there was the CEO's Jeep driver, he, with cobblestones, this bit, you know, the cobblestones he's having the tram cars, you know, cobblestones. And it was pouring rain, and he got out of the Jeep and he slipped and fell and he broke his collarbone. And he said, "You lucky sod," because he was going back, like, you know, that's how bad that was. That, I think that's the truth. That was he was a Birmingham lad, he was. He was with Cardinal Preston for a long, long while.
Can you remember what he was called?
Onions from, I think, yeah, that's his name, Onions, that's his name. His name's in the book. I think he was a corporal there. He'd been with Preston for quite a long while.
So he was envied?
Because he broke his collarbone and going back. That was how tired, that was only fatigue, you know, I made the bloke there, you know. Yeah. That was up there, and that was just before Warrell took over from Preston. Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm not sure it was taken over.
Now, comparing Warrell and Preston, In what ways were they the same? In what way were they different? What were the special qualities of each of them, do you think?
Well, they were good leaders. They were good, but they were both of the same, you know, character, really, you know. Yeah.
Was Worrell's style different in any way from Preston's?
I got on all pretty well with Preston, but I got on just equally the same with Worrell, really, you know. They were good blokes to be with. They seemed to know what they were doing. You know what I mean? They gave you that impression. Like, you know, perhaps they didn't, but they did give you that impression. No. Well, they were both great fellas, really.
Were they popular, generally, in the battalion?
Yeah. When you wasn't in the line, they were ever so strict, you know, on a parade and that sort of thing, you know. But when they were up the line, they were, you know, they knew what they were doing. No, you looked up to them too, well, I did anyway. They were good chaps to be with.
Now, apparently, according to the battalion history, towards the end of 1943, you were pulled back to a rest area for a few days, and there was the divisional dance band and various other things. Can you remember anything about that?
They pulled us back. I remember they sent me, we'd been well up the country, and the PR officer, he made arrangements for me to go down on with a bike to Naples to get Christmas cards to bring back for the, this was about March or something, you know, but it was for the Christmas to send home, like, you know. Yeah, I was down in Naples for, I think, about 2 days. And just to get, we'd been all arranged, like, to pick him up, you know, divisional headquarters, boy, you know, take him back for the lads. And they were chuffed to bits with his Christmas card, you know.
And you had a drive on the bike?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's all. Yeah, all over. I think we had about 3 Christmases, and they were all, you know, in March or something like that, you know.
Now, in terms of when you were pulled back to a rest area, do you ever have any encounters with things like, you know, ENSA, the entertainment people, or anything like that?
We did, not up the line, but we did when we got, when we took back to the Middle East and Syria and that sort of thing. We had them down that part of the world.
Well, we'll get to that then. Now, the battalion had been in action, you know, for the best part of a year now, you know, all the way through 43 into 44. And there were, you know, various gallantry awards had been made to members of the battalion. What did people think about, you know, just generally about, you know, military medal, military cross?
No, just say, well, so-and-so's got DSO or the MM or something, you know, I thought it was it.
So it wasn't a major topic of conversation, though?
Not really, no. Because perhaps later on we, you know, heard more about it sort of thing, you know. But I think we was around that monastery at Casillo, wasn't it, for quite a while. And that's when we got pulled out. We'd been up there for a quarter, just before it was 2, I think. And then we finished. That was our lot. We had to pull out, I think, to get regrouped, because we'd lost a few blocks and the equipment supposed as well, you know.
And then you went to the Middle East.
Then we went from. Yeah, we went from there to the Middle East, to Port Said. We ran to Port Said,
What did you think about...
See, then was, but the rumour was, oh, we're all going home, like, because we'd had our rough passes, I was thinking about now, but then we finished up in the Middle East.
Now, you mentioned the rumour of going home. Now, obviously, at this stage, it's before D-Day.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, if you were going home...
That was where, most of them thought that's where we, you know, finished up over there, like, yeah. Because we used to get the news on, well, the storm, and we get the news on the wireless, like, if you could, like, you know, something on the 18th, something you can get, you know. And they'd tell you a bit of the news, of what was happening. But they were all waiting for this D-Day coming, happening, like, you know.
But was there any thought that if you were pulled back to England, maybe that you'd be involved?
That was it, like, you know. But they were thinking, well, I might get a bit of leave before you went there, sort of thing, you know.
So what were people's reactions when you realised you were going to the Middle East?
Well, obviously we went over there and got regrouped and, you know, all new equipment and all this, and that's when the thought they might be going back to England, you know, to France sort of thing, you know. But then we was in the throes of going to Greece then, weren't we? I don't know. We were in the Middle East for quite a long while at Kusasin, because they used to have, they rigged up some outdoor screens so we can have films, where you can watch a film like, and you can pick the oranges off the trees, that, and did a, that was Kusasin, I think it was. Because we went all over the Middle East there, right, because we finished up Tel Aviv, I think. Yeah. And we done pretty well there, rest-wise, you know, but there's always training schemes going on, div training and, or, you know, stunt schemes a week or, you know, all the time. Well, went up to Damascus because I sent the missus a handbag from there. I won't manage anything down to Damascus. We run around with a motorbike, and of course there's a whole lot of dust there, you know, and ever we see a bit of sea or water in, we swam in the Sea of Galilee, in the Dead Sea, all these places. Yeah, I was a good swimmer. I mean, that Tommy Broughton, you know, let's go and jump in. We should just jump in. And
now, so your first stop was Portside. What was your impression of the Middle East and the people?
Well, we didn't really like the wogs actually, but then.
Why was that?
I don't know. Really, we always thought about some thieving and pinching sort of thing, but we had to get to know someone and get some extra food off them sort of thing, you know, like eggs and all that sort of thing, but we just what we didn't bully for it. And, yeah. But we had quite a rest actually there, because we used to watch these films, and we had naffy rations there, you know, we couldn't, because we didn't have any money at all the time during the war. We, you know, we didn't draw no money. Well, you didn't need money, did you? And but then we got, you could draw some money when we was in, I think that was BMA money, they called it. And we used to buy naffy rations, you know. And that was something unusual. They were saying, buy a bowl of flour, a bit of chocolate or something, you know.
The prized items of naffy rations, what would you be after to buy?
Well, maybe like fags. A lot of the chaps say when they drew some money, they got some knickknacks. They was married, sent stuff home to their wives, and that, you know, really, because you could send stuff home from there. I'll say I sent the missus a handbag. Yeah, that was, wasn't too bad at all there. Well, then we went back to Italy, then, didn't we?
Yeah, we'll get to that, but apparently, according to the battalion history, you spent some time in Tel Aviv.
That's right, yeah.
And the battalion was involved in, you know, tensions between the Arabs and the Jewish populations.
Yeah,
do you have any
memories
of that?
Yeah, because Tel Aviv was a nice place, actually. We'd done a lot of running about with the bike then. We're getting messages here and there with Dip and, you know, the brigade headquarters and everything, you know. Yeah, a lot of that went on.
Now, you mentioned schemes that you were doing during this period. Were there any new aspects to this training that you hadn't, or was it just more of the same that you'd already did, you know, in England?
Well, it's the same, really, but I think some of the infantry had trained for this landing business, you know, then, there sort of thing. There was a lot of training went on with DIV headquarters right there. And we got kitted out in all sorts and Middle East different gear, didn't we?
Well,
we were wearing shorts and KD sort of thing in the Middle East, didn't we?
Now, I mean, presumably you'll have had a lot of replacements coming in over.
Yeah.
You know,
what were you? That's right.
We're talking about,
yeah.
Said your name, but, you know, your casualties in Italy and so on.
That's right. Yeah.
Where did these men come
there,
from? Where did these men come from? You know, what regiments, what?
Infantry, all sorts, I suppose, you know. Some had come out of hospitals and come back, and, you know, and there were different fellas from different regiments coming there. We used to make the battalion up.
How did you still feel that you were, did you still have like a unit identity Or?
Oh yeah, the Durhams, yeah.
How do you think that was fostered? How was that kept? Because obviously that a lot of men had changed and moved and gone. And
well, I don't know. The Durhams stood out actually, though. Because we had, the Foresters were in our brigade, weren't they? And the Leicesters, weren't they? Three in the brigade. But they were all got made up, sort of thing, you know, with fresh people, right? So some of them, a lot come straight from England, you know, to the East with us. But we lost a lot of men, you know, in Italy, and what with the Africa job as well, you know.
I mean, personally, what were you thinking at this time? Because you'd been with them from the start.
I went home. I was single, like, no, but the married men, you felt a bit sorry for them, especially I got young family friends that left the shores of England, sort of thing, you know.
You mentioned you were able to send a handbag to your girlfriend. Were you able to, was the mail between England and...
In the Middle East.
Yeah, this period, you know, 1944, what was the situation with that?
No, there was more mail coming back and forward, letters from the wives and family home, there's more there than what they had in Italy.
So that was more efficient?
Yes, definitely. The married blocks were real chuff because obviously they were getting worried because they heard all sorts of stories about the Yanks in England and all this business with, you know, the wives and stuff. So.
Did you ever encounter, because apparently the German propaganda would make a lot of that, you know, did you ever encounter any German propaganda material, you know, leaflets dropped or shelled, any of that? Or radio broadcasts?
Well, they're broadcasting all the time, weren't they? What was that look like? We used to even hear that German, what was it? Lord Ho Ho, was it called him? I never liked that. Because the sets, the radio sets of the brigade were bigger sets that you can get international business. You know, we used to get a bit of grief from then, like, what was happening in other parts of the world, like that.
Do any personalities stand out at brigade headquarters? You know, because if you were moving back to, you were travelling back and forward.
I knew some of the signals pretty well. You know, where they got their big sets on their trucks. You know, and I come in contact with them quite a lot. Like, but I can't put their names to them. You know, but
so they would actually listen to the German propaganda broadcast.
Oh yeah. They can get anything, them big sets that was on the brigade headquarters, like that.
What was the reaction to this news from the enemy side?
Swear it a bit, and also they didn't take it like not really.
So they didn't take it seriously?
No.
Now, apparently you were able to get out and about on leave when you were in the Middle East, and, you know, we looked at some photographs of...
We had 4 days in Cairo.
What was that like?
That was quite good. Yeah, that's why we took some of them photos of the pyramids now, you know. Yeah, because we had proper grub there, you know, with bread and that sort of thing, you know. Yeah, we had 4 days, I think. Nearly everybody in the battalion had about 4 days in Cairo. Yeah.
What did you do?
Well, go in these wine bars, I think, because we were all in regular, like.
What did you drink? What was the local drink?
Well, drunk all sorts, anything when you're that age. But it was a break, you know, because we was able to spend some money there, because I said we hadn't been anywhere for 18 months or like, you know, we always got a few bob, and then of course we would come, went back at Carp and I would have a game of cards and wine out or something like that. But we got a good crowd in the signals if we used to play cards, like, you know, and I'm not a card player, I'm not a gambler actually, because I hate losing. And you know, 9 times out of 10, I would finish up and I would win. But whoever won in the group used to buy all the nappy rations, you know, and we'd got a smashing going on, like, you know, yeah.
So what game would you play? What game would it be?
I'd be bragging, you know, kind of, yeah, brag or ponting. Yeah.
So would you tend to stick with the people in the signals platoon?
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Were you able to keep track of anybody in the, you know, the other companies, you know, people that you may have known?
Oh, I used to meet up with them, sort of thing, you know, yeah. I knew a lot of the chaps in the MT, obviously, you know, the carriers and all them, that sort of thing. And I'd say, quite a few in infantry, really. But see, the people that I joined up with, they were either a sergeant or sergeant major sort of thing by that time, you know. But they were good because, I mean, some good mates. I mean, I know they used to come and talk to you sort of thing, you know. Although they were sergeants or whatever, you know, they came out of work with.
So, members of Tel Aviv and the tensions between the Arabs and the Jewish population, apparently some members of the battalion were put on kind of quasi-police work. You know,
patrolling. Like, you know,
did you get involved in any of
company,
that?
No, I didn't, but the company were doing it, you know. They would go around and pay sort of thing, you know. Yeah, they did patrol it all the time. Like. Because there was a lot, I think the officers had a proper officer's mess up in Tel Aviv, you know.
Were there any tensions with other units during this period when you were on leave? With the British or
Allied? Well, the brigade, the lessers, of course, and we all seemed to get on pretty well together, you know.
What about the Americans when you were in Italy? Because apparently you were part of the American Fifth Army for a while.
Well, they say they were at Anzio. And I got an older brother, and he was in the Rifles, I think it was. And I remember going to see him on the bike light when we'd been pulled back, and that was in Italy. Okay, I see him. But he was a cook, like, so he was, he'd been more in Biesno. I think I had a bit of a job to find him, but he was, you know, Biesno, like. Yeah. That was an unusual thing. I always find your brother. Because he was a lot older than me, but he is older than me, you know. And,
How did you find him?
Well, I must have had a letter from home, from like my missus now, to say my brother was in the Mediterranean area, like, you know. And with the contacts I got, I kept asking different people, and I found out he was in this regiment, and I found out, because you see all, when he was on a bike, you see every different, you know, they used to have the gun. And I kept asking people, and I eventually found him. And that was, you know. But you see, if you hadn't had on the wall, but you couldn't have done that at all. It was just, you know, one of the perks of the job or something.
So you had a little bit of freedom of movement within?
Yeah. Well, when we was not in, actually, Val, like, you know, just roam about. So we used to look for a bit of water, go and have a swim and that sort of thing.
Any other memories of this period in the Middle East? Any other incidents?
No, apart from eating oranges all the time. Of course, it was all on these malaria tablets, so we used to have one of them every day. So, that was a funny thing, when the mosquito nets, you've got to have one of them on. Yeah, that was